Hello, this is Chris Grimes. Before we get going on the open road of today's episode of the Good Listening To Show, Stories of Distinction and Genius on UK Health Radio, this is part two of two, the extraordinary and, well, gut-wrenching story of a fellow actor called Robert Hands, and I'm calling this episode To Be or Not To Be, deliberately, existentially Shakespearean, because his extraordinary story is he took a split-second decision about 13 years ago to inject crystal meth and then descended into the chaos of a three-year abyss. Finally, now, hopefully, you know, 10 years to the day we're recording together, he is in recovery to find peace and a meditative tranquility. But anyway, it's the most extraordinary story. This is part two of two. If you have ears, prepare to peel them now as we listen to the story of Robert Hands, To Be or Not To Be. Welcome to the show. Part two of two, and we join Rob at the fourth shapage in the structure of the show. So we've had three things so far that have shaped him. This is the fourth thing before, of course, we get onto the three things that inspire him. Do listen to episode one to get a full context of what he's now talking about. But yes, let's get on with the show. Marvellous. Welcome to another episode of the Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes, the storytelling show that features The Clearing, where all good questions come to get asked and all good stories come to be told, and where all my guests have two things in common. They're all creative individuals and all with an interesting story to tell. There are some lovely storytelling metaphors. A clearing, a tree, a juicy storytelling exercise called 5-4-3-2-1, some alchemy, some gold, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, and a cake. So it's all to play for. So yes, welcome to the Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we shall begin. Lovely. And the final shapage of the four shapages.
Well, the final shapage, which could well have been the first shapage, really, which was my love of theatre. And when I was 10, we moved from Holland to England, and my aunt took me to the pantomime.
And the Windsor Theatre. Yes, she did. I'm sorry, that was a stupid joke. Sorry. What? I said, oh, yes, she did. I'm sorry, that's so kind of obvious.
And it was the Windsor Theatre or Panto. And I just remember being bewitched by it. I just remember sitting there thinking, and there were children on stage as well, people like me running around, acting really badly, I have to say, as well, and thinking, why are they doing it like that? Do it like that. But I became, I straight away became obsessed with it. And I didn't go to the theatre for a whole nother year, to the Panto again the next year. And I remember my aunt buying me a programme, and I read it forwards, backwards, sideways. I was obsessed with it from that moment.
I love that.
And I guess, you know, when I talked about the loneliness of being a gay boy growing up in London, I guess that was my only outlet. And it was the only thing. I didn't really care what people thought about that. It was my thing. Yes. And it sustained me. So it was my friend. It really was. And I was quite chunky because I mentioned, you know, the kind of food issue. And I started saving my dinner money. And in those days, you could do that. You could save your dinner money, and then you could go into London from where we lived and go and see a play. And you'd sit 4 miles from the stage, but you could see a play for £3.
Yeah.
And I did it every Friday. And my parents used to get the Times newspaper, and I used to rush downstairs. It was quite a sort of quirky, geeky child, really. But I guess I felt very alone. So to read the theatre reviews.
Yeah.
And I used to read them avidly. I couldn't wait to get downstairs to read it. Still haven't read a newspaper, really. But I'd go straight for the theatre reviews. And I became this geeky expert on directors and writers and playwrights. And through that, I went to see the most extraordinary things. I remember going to see, you know, plays in pub theatres and seeing lots of things at the RSC and musicals. And And I remember I always bought a theatre programme, and I used to read those like people read books. I love knowing about actors and where they came from and what they've done, excuse me, what they've done and particularly where they're trained, actually. That was a real thing.
Yes.
What drama schools they've gone to. It was a completely solitary activity that wasn't in any way encouraged or supported by anyone else.
It came from within, yes.
Yeah, it came from within. It was my happy place, I suppose.
Yes.
I loved it.
That's so brilliant about this episode, because when you're interviewing an actor, you think, okay, what's your serious happy place? Oh, darling, it's the stage. And then we go from then on. But this has been so extraordinary that the fourth shape, which is obviously theatre, and it's yours from within.
Yeah.
So with your permission, I'd like to get on to three things that inspire you now, actor Robert yes. Hand.
So, as you mentioned, and forgive me if I get a little tearful, my mother died on November the 11th, 2023. So that's kind of 3 months ago. And she died on her 96th birthday. And she had had dementia and hadn't really been herself for about 6 years. And I had really been filling in the gaps all that time. And because I wanted to, obviously. But actually, it sort of was her time. And when she died, I did look at her and I kind of think, I've never seen anyone look so old or so dead. And I know it's sort of slightly funny, and it sort of was funny, really. She'd come to the end of the road, and I do feel sad, and I feel my eyes pricking over and above the cold about it. But actually, it was okay. But she was a great inspiration to me. She, without any formal education, she became a journalist in Fleet Street, and had at a time when women didn't have careers. And women weren't expected to have careers. There was a whole thing of, you know, you get a job until you marry. But she actually had a career, and no one helped her with it. She just had talent. But she had a gift with words. She was a very, very good writer. And she never went to university, and she had this slight, I don't know if it was a chip on her shoulder, but it was something that she felt needed addressing. Everyone that she worked with, particularly as time went on, had degrees. And as she got older, younger women were coming in to do what she did, who all had been to university. And my mother really, really envied it. She actually trained as an actress. My mother went to Central School for a year.
Oh, gosh.
And then didn't really pursue it. She didn't really get anywhere with it, and then ended up in this strange publication in Fleet Street. But she ended up, you know, working at all the kind of major women.
It wasn't
magazines.
The editor of the sewage and waterworks. That we've
oh, you see, busted. That's how I got the job. No, they were based in Fleet Street.
A bit of nepotism for the old sewage works. Sorry, I was kidding.
Yeah. Pulled a string there for me. But then when in her 70s, she went to university.
Wow.
In her 70s. Went to on the bus, and she went to university and did an English degree, which is what she'd always wanted to do. And at the time, you know, I kind of took it as normal, but you know, she was in her 70s, and she was sitting in a classroom full of 18, 19-year-olds. And she had a really difficult life. My father was an alcoholic, and I had three brothers, and she was sort of the major breadwinner. And she never had much interest in domesticity. That wasn't really her thing. But God, she did what she could. You know, there was always food on the table. We were never dressed particularly elegantly or well, but and the house was a bit of a mess, really. She just couldn't see the point. She could not see the point in cleaning.
And we can all relate to that. Yes. It's called wilding your front room nowadays.
But God, get her on a subject of a book or something that she'd read, and she'd be so inspiring and engaging and interested. She was interested in everything. So, yes, she's a huge inspiration to me. That in a way, she followed her heart. That's what she did.
I'm sorry to hear that, obviously, dementia took the final hold. And how long was her path in that?
6 years. When she was 90, she fell over, and that speeded up the process, seeming that's a thing, that a trauma can bring it on or speed it up or something. And she was never quite the same after that. Although physically, she sort of, you know, she started to be able to walk about a bit, and she lived alone until the last, actually. But she certainly wasn't herself anymore. And it was heartbreaking watching her. If I said something like, I've got a job, you know, I could see a flush across her eyes. What do you mean you've got a job? Does that mean you don't normally have a job? What's the job? What is it you do? Did I know this? Have we had a conversation? Right? You could see. And so instead of asking any questions like, oh, what's the job? She'd go, And it was, well, it was sad, really, because it meant, you know, we could no longer really communicate. It became really hard.
And by the way, our connection times are quite profound in the fact it's 10 years to this day that you are dry or in recovery. And when I first reconnected with you, you were literally traveling in the car to go and see your mum, and then a week later she died. And then since that point, we've been getting to this point, which is obviously since November to now. So it's an extraordinary series of connections that brings us to the presence of now.
Good point. Yes, I agree. Yeah,
yeah,
it is nice.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimising your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
The station that makes you feel good.
Anyway, then I've lumped a few together, things that inspire me.
Please do. Yes, so this is the second inspirer.
I have a thing about people who have overcome hardship. And last year I read three autobiographies, and there were people who faced far greater difficulties than I ever did. And they didn't just transcend them, they triumphed. One was is a book called Educated by Tahara Westover, and she was brought up...
Tahara, did you say?
Tahara Westover.
Tahara, sorry, yeah.
And she was brought up in a very strict Mormon family in Utah, I believe. Her father didn't believe in medicine or education. And they run a sort of breaker's yard, I think. And it was pretty crazy. And it transpired later, I think, that her dad was bipolar. And he'd have these episodes that they all suffered by. And she had no education whatsoever. And by... she hadn't been to school until she was 16. She home educated, but mostly on the Bible. There was not a great deal of... And her mum sort of on the quiet educated, and she managed to get into college. It was a Mormon college, but it was frowned upon by her father, and there was all sorts of physical abuse and stuff, and it was an extremely difficult life. And a teacher there, as is often the way, a teacher spotted her sort of brilliance. The long and short of it, she ended up in Cambridge. At Cambridge, this girl from with no education. She said, like, when she went to college, she didn't know that she had to brush her teeth or have a shower every day. That they were that sort of removed from society. She ended up in Cambridge, and then she then went to Harvard. These great sort of establishments of education from this extraordinary humble beginnings, not just humble, but they didn't want her to get on. That was not what they felt that she was there for. As a Mormon woman, that was not expected. Anyway.
Combination is it, being sort of home educated on the Bible in a breaker's yard. So presumably she could rail about religion and also crush a car at short notice.
Yeah, yeah. There's all sorts of hilarious anecdotes of her doing just that.
Yes.
Of crushing cars and stuff, and all the terrifying sort of disregard for health and safety. Yes. 11-year-old girl wandering around with a chainsaw and stuff,
Yes.
All sorts of injuries went on.
Is she still with us, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
She's still out there. She's at Harvard and beyond.
She's still a very young woman. She's been to Harvard and Cambridge, and then she's written this book.
Maybe you're going to pass the golden baton to her. I've no idea.
I'd love her. I mean, she's amazing. I mean, if you get hold of her, I've followed her on, seen interviews with her on YouTube, and she's extraordinary. She's really...
So just say her name again. It's Tahara...
Tahara Westover.
Thank you. So she'll do brilliantly as an inspiration. And then the third one of those...
Well, there's actually... I've got another two. So one was Elliot Page's book, Page Boy, and Elliot, who's a trans man, grew up in the wrong body, but in the full glare of Hollywood. And was nominated for Best Actress for an Oscar for Juno when he was still a girl. And reading his challenges from really early memories, just this feeling of being in the wrong body and no one listening to it, and doing it in the full glare of the publicity of his life. I found it inspiring, just so inspiring that I guess, like me growing up a gay boy in the 80s, there was no one to talk to. There was no one to talk, and to see the way that he handled that and the excruciating pain that he suffered is very moving. And then seeing him triumph as he has and kind of brilliantly just playing male roles now, it's wonderful. And the third was Viola Davis's memoir, Finding Me, which again, I mean, the way she describes her childhood to end up where she is now as, one of Hollywood's finest and best known and respected actresses it inspires me. I kind of think, I had a few things up, but I never had to confront those things to completely change, to leave my family behind me and to and to find a way in an industry steeped in prejudice and yet keeping on going. And I just have the utmost respect for it. And I'm just a huge fan of her acting anyway. So yes. That, I mean, even if she hadn't been, it's still a remarkable feat. But
yes,
that she's also incidentally, I think, one of the finest actresses on screen at the moment. I think that's really something. Yeah. So those are my three there.
Wonderful three inspirations. Fantastic.
Yes.
And by the way, there's a slight comic tangent. As you were a gay boy growing up in Holland, I was growing up similarly in Uganda, not as a gay boy living in Uganda, but my only stereotypical knowledge of Holland was a first school assembly where we just knew the story of the person that had to put their finger in the pipe. So that's just a comedy tangent of, you know, all the sort of fna of sticking your finger in a dike and all that sort of thing. So anyway, that's a comedy tangent, which is wholly irrelevant. That's a rabbit hole.
It's a rabbit hole. Yes, thank you. Yes,
thank you. So we're on to two squirrels now. What never failed to grab your attention? Well, your monsters of distraction, irrespective of anything else that's going on for you in your life, Robert Hands.
Well, I think movie posters. I love them. I don't just love the information that they have. I just think they're beautiful artworks. Mm. I know a little bit about it, that there are whole departments in Hollywood, that there are teams of people that create movie posters that decide, you know, it's not just, we just snap it, you know, from the action. There's a lot of thought goes behind it. And that's why some of them are so arresting.
Do you collect them, by the way?
I don't. I wish I did. I think I might start.
I think you should. In fact, now you've said that, I was thinking, gosh, why doesn't he have them plastered all over the walls behind
him? Why don't I? Exactly.
And what's that poster behind you, by the way? Because that's a
Bowie.
It's a what?
That picture there. Yeah, no, it's a sort of, it's by a Bauhaus. It was a 1930s. Yes. 20s art.
Sorry, I made that was a squirrel of itself for me because I got distracted. What? So I'm terribly sorry. So back to you and your Hollywood posters.
Well, Hollywood posters, but any old cinema poster actually. I on the tube, I gravitate towards them always, and read who's in them, who's directed it, who's written it, I always do, and I love it, and I love. Love them as works of art as well. So you're right. Why don't I? I'm going to get some, Chris.
Get some. And you've just, for some reason, the Betty Blue poster flashed into my mind as you said that. That was one that was very sort of iconic and memorable. That's not a very good example. There are many, many more brilliant ones, but that's one I remember.
I don't know if you've seen Poor Things, but the poster's so eye-catching. I find myself going to it the whole time. And I suppose I still have that passion for who's in it. What have they done before?
From your programmes, yes, absolutely.
My programme days,
and reading the Times theatre section, yes.
Yeah. Yes, I think it probably is, yes.
Okay, so that's your squirrels, I think, just in the structure.
One squirrel, I needed another squirrel. My other squirrel.
Yes, have another squirrel. It was what?
Any form of autobiography or biography catching my attention. It doesn't mean it doesn't matter if it's a book or whether it's... I think in the Metro there's a thing called 60 Seconds and then they have a sort of a snap interview with someone. Always gets my attention. I always read them. I love knowing, I suppose, to say I don't love knowing what makes people tick is maybe, I guess I do. I love knowing the nitty gritty about why they do things and I guess the differences in how people perceive things. And, anything like that.
Yes.
Again, I think my mother used to get the Sunday Times and there always used to be I think on the back of the called The Day in the Life. I still do. I would always pick it up and read it.
Yes. Lovely.
Yes. So those would be my squirrels, I'd say.
And now, a quirky or unusual fact about you. This is the one that we couldn't possibly know about you until you tell us, and you're not allowed to say, I injected crystal meth once, because we know that now.
Well, I don't know if it's very interesting, but I don't eat... sugar, by which I mean cakes, biscuits, chocolates, sweets, for 11 months of the year.
Ooh.
But in December, I cane it.
You're Captain Stollen all the way through December.
That's exactly it, yes.
I love that. You just have a sort of complete feast of binge of cake in December.
Yes, yes. I can't do it like normal people do, who might say, oh, it'd be nice to have a bar of chocolate now. I can't. The minute I do that, I'm having family packs of fruit and nuts. And, you know, I don't know. Marks and Spencer's used to do these fantastic tea cakes, which aren't cakes at all. They're marshmallows with chocolate on. I think they came in boxes of 36, and I just ate all of them. I can't.
Yeah, it's sort of like your Tunnock Snowball, but in a packet of 36.
Yeah, the M&S version. And yeah. I can't do it in any way reasonably. And much like every any addiction I've ever had, actually, is I just sit there thinking about when am I going to have the next one? Where am I going to get the next one? What will the next one be? And it's easier for me, although it requires quite a lot of willpower, just not to do it. Just don't.
I love the fact that December, you just think you go full feral and turn into Fatty Arbuckle because you can just go mental for a month.
I mean, I couldn't. I mean, never to have a mince pie again. I couldn't.
Yeah, I could not. Yeah. Great not. Fact. I love that.
I don't know if it's, but I listened to your interview with Fiona McDermott, and he was so brilliant because he's, in fact, it sort of incorporated his whole career. His whole reason for being was because of that fact that no one would know about. And that's in a way what drove him to become the man that he is. And I thought that was brilliant. So, you know, the one that I don't eat sugar isn't quite as interesting, but that's there you are. That's it.
No, yours is up there. This whole path and this trajectory of you, the story behind the story of Robert Hans is just extraordinary so far. This is gold in Vendar Hills right there. We have shaken your tree, and thank you for the mention of the lovely, brilliant Fiona McDermott in that as well. And now we've shaken your tree, so now we're going to stay in the clearing, move away from the tree. And by the way, the really good news is I think I'm going to milk about two whole episodes out of you because this is going on a really beautiful amount of time, which is great. So as we were. So now we're moving away from the tree, and next we're talking about alchemy and gold. When you're at purpose, Robert Hans, Ector, what are you absolutely happiest doing in what you're here to reveal to the world?
It's never changed since I was auditioning for drama school. I'm at my happiest working on a script and feeling unjudged, the ability to play, to try things out, to think about it, to search, to try and find clues of the character that I'll be playing. It's my happy place, and I can do it for hours and hours and hours, and I don't feel any less. It's almost meditative because I don't think of anything else while I'm doing it. I don't feel any less fond of all of that than I did all those years ago.
Lovely. And one of the other things I remember reading about you in the research towards your sort of darker time when your life imploded was you said there was a moment when you said I hadn't worked for 2 years, and I wonder whether it was the gap of not being able to go to that alchemic place that made you more susceptible to ultimately the sinkhole of addiction you went into. But I don't know if the two of those are correlated.
No, I didn't work because I was taking drugs.
I'm with you. Sorry.
Yes.
I love the fact. Sorry, that's my fault. But I love the fact that it's all about that is your happy place. At your most alchemic, you're working on a script. How lovely.
Yeah.
And now, it's not December, but I'm going to award you with it's going to have to be a metaphorical cake because you're not allowed even to snaffle anything.
No, because I'm going to save it up, Chris.
So what type of cake would you like? Imagine it's now December the 1st. What are we nomming on?
Here's the thing. I think because I don't eat cake the rest of the year, and this is my passion, what I like, if that's okay, is
yes.
You know those posh hotels where they have afternoon tea?
I do.
And they come with a selection of little cakes, don't you?
Some little fences.
Yes. And what I thought I'd have was I'd have a little slice of lemon drizzle, and I'd have a little slice of vanilla, Victoria sponge, and then I'd have coffee and walnut, and there might be a little slice of fruitcake as well.
How quintessentially gorgeous. I love that. You can have all those things on a little delicate sort of tower of plates.
It might add up to slightly more than one chunky slice, but only just. Essentially, it'd be like.
And what's slice. That tower of different sized plates called when you.
Is it called a. It's not called a. It's not called a Lazy Susan, is it? No.
Is it? Or a carousel, a Lazy Susan?
I don't know what they're called.
We have to get people to write in about that.
Sandwiches on the bottom, don't you? And yes. Then on the top, you've got little bits of cake.
Yeah, so if someone said, oh, look, there's one of those plates. I wonder what it's called. Do you think it's a Lazy Susan, do you?
I don't think it is.
I think
a Lazy Susan is a thing that spins in the middle of the table. So that if you're sitting at a big table, you can turn it around. So if you want to get the sprouts or whatever, and they're the ones on the other side of the thing, you can turn. I think that's a Lazy Susan. Rather than having to pass them, you can just turn the...
I remember being at a Chinese restaurant when the table rotated and you could spin the bits round, but that wouldn't be a Lazy Susan in a Chinese restaurant, I'm sure. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be racist or anything. I'm sure it's not that. Anyway, I'm sorry. Cashier number 412, please. You can have the lovely potpourri of cakes. I love that. You've got a quintessential English collection of cakery, which is lovely. Yes. Okay, now you get to put the cherry on the cakes that you have. And this is stuff like, what's a favourite inspirational quote, Robert, that's always given you succour and pulled you towards your future?
Oh, I think, I mean, I've had many that I thought might do, but one that makes me smile was two. Can I have two?
Yes.
One is from the film Flashdance, and it's take your passion and make it happen. And I love it for two reasons. One, because I like the sentiment. It's essentially go for it. But also the fact it doesn't really rhyme. Passion doesn't rhyme with happen. But I like the fact that it's quite shameless the way they've done that. But the thought behind it, which is, yeah, go for it. You take your passion and make it happen. I like that. But I think the other one, quite lowbrow, my quotations, is RuPaul's famous line, which is, if you can't love yourself, how do you expect to love anyone yourself? And I like the fact that that's not about what can you get, but what can you give? How can you give anyone anything unless you love yourself?
Yes.
And I think that's a nice one.
And I don't think that's lowbrow at all. I think that's absolutely gorgeous. Now, this next question I'm particularly enamoured with, because you said a little bit a while ago, you said, I do feel actually a little bit in love or affectionate towards that little boy, you said about yourself.
Yes.
So my next question is, what notes, help or advice now with the extraordinary cathartic path you've had, with the gift of hindsight, what notes, help or advice would you proffer to a younger 10-year-old version of a Robert Hans?
I think I'd say... trust your instincts. Don't diminish yourself by what you think other people want you to be. I think is what I'd say, which is quite complicated to a small boy. But I think he'd understand, actually. I think the notion that someone is going to thank me on my deathbed for not living my best life is quite sobering. I kind of think, well, who am I doing this for? Mm. So much of my life has been... I mean, much like the blokes said, here, have some crystal meth. And I said, yes. Why did I do that? I kind of did it because I didn't want to hurt his feelings. I don't know why I did it.
Yes,
rather than trust my instincts.
That's the most dangerous type of people-pleasing known to man, probably.
It's really exceptional. Yes, it's Olympic level of people-pleasing, that, isn't it? Yeah.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk. UK.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And that's a very interesting segue into this next question, which is, I know you've been given some crap advice, obviously we've just covered that, but what's the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Gosh, what is the best piece of advice I've ever been given? I'll tell you the most helpful thing someone has ever said to me was, because I really struggled, and I think bullied children do struggle with this blame. You blame yourself. And I've been in a few West End musicals, and so as part of that was I had singing lessons, and I had some vocal issues. And one of the problems that I had a sort of real problem is my mouth was closing up a lot. And seemingly it was about that sort of territory. It was about the carrying the burden of having been bullied and stuff. And he just said, you know, it's not your fault. And it was like I was let off the hook with that. And so, yeah, that's one of the most memorable things anyone's ever said to me. And it landed. You know, sometimes people can say things and you go, oh yeah, that's nice, thank you. But it really landed because it never occurred to me it wasn't my fault. Mm. And it allowed me to let go of it a little bit and to forgive myself a little bit.
Lovely.
It's gone heavy again, honestly.
No, it's great. This is just
lighten the mood with cake, and now here I am back again.
No, lovely, because now where we're going is we're ramping up to Shakespeare in a moment to talk about legacy.
Oh, God, yes.
Just before we get there, this is the pass the golden baton moment, please. So having experienced this from within, who would you most like to pass the golden baton along to someone in your life or network in order to keep the golden thread of the storytelling going?
I'd like to pass it on to my friend Mickey Cohen.
Mickey Cohen.
He is a jewellery designer and maker, and he has helped me more than anyone else in the world. He's helped me with my journey to spirituality. He's helped me through his tireless selflessness. He's always there for me. He has he's a family and children, but he's always there for me. And I'm very lucky to have him in my life because he inspires me. He could have been on the inspiration list, actually. In fact, he should have been on the inspiration list, because no matter what his difficulties may be, he's a man all about service. He does service to mankind all the time, and without any expectation of any gain or anything. He does it because it helps him and it makes the world a better place. It's a selfless, you know, even when it's inconvenient, he still does it. Inconvenient to him, he still is there. And in my darkest hours, when I was struggling with, you know, trying to stay off the drugs, he was always there, and he threw open the doors to his house to me and invited me to go on family holidays. And he's a very a kind and inspiring man, a very special human being, and without in any way being limited by any actual religion. He's just, to me, he's a spiritual giant. And I think he's very special, and he's a creative man. He makes beautiful jewellery. So he might be someone up your street. I don't know. It's up to you.
He sounds like a privilege. And I can't resist saying, because he's a jeweller, he's obviously a bit of a gem. So yes, he sounds really, really extraordinary, actually. And thank you. He sounds like a very... great gift of a golden baton pass. Thank you.
Spiritual leaders come in many different guises, and I wouldn't have thought, yeah, Mickey wouldn't. You wouldn't immediately think, oh, there goes a spiritual guru. But
yes. So your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to furnish me with a warm introduction to Mickey Cohen. Thank you very much. Yeah. And now, inspired by Shakespeare and all the worlds of stage. And by the way, you may be interested to know this is the actual, not first folio, but this is the actual complete works that I bought to go to the Bristol Old Vic Theatre School where I met you. And this says Chris Grimes, 16986. So this is the actual one that I used when we were chuntering on together in the Bristol Old Vic Theatre School.
Charging over the Downs, doing King Henry V. Do you ever do that?
Yes, for a Muse of Fire and all that shebang. Lovely. Yes, and of course, we can riff on about that another time as well, the people that we were there with and all that stuff. Marvellous. So now, inspired by Shakespeare then, and inspired by Jakey's speech in As You Like It, All the World's Deeded, All the Bed, you don't have to do any Shakespeare. This is just legacy now, Robert Hands. How, when all is said and done, it's a lot of kerfuffle and a big prop just for one question, isn't it? But it's how would you most like to be remembered?
I think I'd like... I suppose, you know, I've struggled and I've come out the other end. And I suppose, yes, if I'd like to be remembered, maybe someone that maybe gave hope to someone who was struggling and didn't know there was a way out of it. I'd love that. I mean, you said, how would you hope to be? So I don't know whether I'll ever be, but that would be a wonderful legacy, to think that if it was just one person.
It's not hope, it's how do you most like. So this is your gift to give. So it's how would you most like to be remembered. So I'm not being pedantic. I'm just saying that it needn't be a hope, because actually you are an inspiration, because you have survived it and you've survived.
Yeah, well, that's how I'd like to be remembered then. Someone that overcame some difficulties and came out the other end. After dumbfounded for the first time.
No, I'm leaving a little bit of silence there. Marvellous. No, that's fine. So, where can we find out all about Robert Hands on the old interweb, please?
Probably Instagram, rob.hands.
Lovely, thank you. As this has been your moment in the sunshine in the Good Listening To show, Stories of Distinction and Genius, Robert Hands, is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, but thank you, Chris, for asking me. It's lovely to see you. You don't look any different.
Well, nor do you. And yes, it's one. It's thank you for that. I shall take that as a compliment. And it's so, so wonderful to see you again. I'm so happy we have reconnected. Yeah. And in the last few months, I've reconnected with Brendan O'Hay, with you and others that are there in the mix of the wonderful squad that we were part of back in the day. So it's been a real, real delight. And as I said at the beginning, I'm so profoundly happy that you have come through it and you are the right way up and wiser for it. But my gosh, you went there. You had to, you were sucked under, and it's great that you have surfaced and emerged triumphant, but with still work to be done, because it ain't over yet, as we know, life.
Thank you.
Wonderful. So, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the delightful Robert Hands. And yes, I've been Chris Grimes. TheGoodListeningToShow.com is the website. Tune in next time for more stories from the clearing. Thank you very much indeed. And good night.
You've been listening to The Good Listening To Show here on UK Health Radio with me, Chris Grimes. Oh, it's my son.
If you've enjoyed the show, then please do tune in next week to listen to more stories from The Clearing.
If you'd like to connect with me on LinkedIn, then please do so. There's also a dedicated Facebook group for the show too. You can contact me about the programme, or if you'd be interested in experiencing some personal impact coaching with me, care of my Level Up Your Impact programme, that's chris@secondcurve.uk. On Twitter and Instagram, it's
@thatchrisgrimes.
So until next time, for me, Chris Grimes, from UK Health Radio, and from Stan,
to your good health.
And goodbye. So, actor Robert Hand, you've just been given a damn good listening to. Can I just ask for your immediate feedback on what that was like for you, being curated through this structure and this storyscape?
Well, it was very nice. It's quite nice talking about yourself. I was a bit worried about it before, because I thought, oh dear, it is all a bit grim and dark, and do I really want to talk about this? Well, I'm glad I did. You gently led me through it, and it just feels quite auspicious, it being, you know, my 10-year anniversary and talking to you about it. And I guess it was very nice. And I wasn't feeling very well when I started, but I feel much better now.
And thank you for not postponing being as you weren't well, because we've had a really interesting path. It is profound that it's 10 years to this day, even though we've tried four times to get to this point.
And really good times, yeah.
And that, you know, it's wonderful that it was today. And thank you sincerely. It's lovely that we're both here with our man colds 10 years to the day of your recovery. But it's just really, it's the right time. You know, what's meant for you won't pass you by. And here we are. And it's been lovely.
Oh, thank you, Chris.
And thank you for watching on Facebook too. If you have been, do get in touch with Rob if you'd like to do that. And it's been a joy. And I hope to see you again. I very much look forward to giving you a hug when I next see you.
That'd be nice. Yeah, me too.